There's a new breed of revivalists that are emerging in the earth today. You were born into the greatest hour in all of history. Your job is to prepare the way and to usher in the reign of Jesus into a city and into neighborhoods and workplaces and campuses. This is what we were born for. Nothing else will satisfy you. There has to be a holy dissatisfaction. It says, God, I will not be satisfied until the entire city is saved. What you have to ask yourself is, am I going to be one of those few that says, I don't care if anybody comes with me. I'm going to give myself for revival.
You are listening to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
All right, well, welcome back to the second part of our monthly podcast. I like to refer to it as the second Reese's Peanut Butter Cup or the second Twix.
Yep.
Not Kit Kat, because that's four, but somewhere along those lines. Becky doesn't like our analogy of this stuff.
I don't, because, you know, it promotes candy bars and eating junk food, and, you know, I just try to keep the healthy.
This is like the second packet of granola.
You know what?
This is like having your second prune.
You want to talk about fruit that remains?
Yeah.
Prunes.
Okay, Becky, listen, before we get into this whole thing, be honest about this. You love prunes.
I do.
They're
deliciously sweet.
They are not delicious.
They are. They're delicious.
Oh, wow.
Nature's, I can't. Listen, tweet us candy. If you actually like prunes and
nature's
you're proud
candy.
About it.
Nature's candy.
Prunes. I'm pretty sure prunes candy. Are not nature's candy. But welcome to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. We're glad that you're here. This is the second part of our monthly podcast. If you haven't listened to the first part, go back and listen to it. We're dealing with a topic that we believe is relevant for you today. I'm Benny Leibscher, the director of Jesus Culture, and with me, as always, is our communications director, Becky Johnson.
Hello.
Zach Curry, who is head of Campus Awakening and also is the local church team leader as we're building this local church in Sacramento, and new with us, after being 8 years at a phenomenal church, a church that we love, has transitioned. You know him as the dean on the dean's list. The man himself, Dean DeGuara, welcome.
Back for the second time.
Back for the second time. We didn't fire you and go with Cody, so that's a good sign. It's a good sign you made it twice.
We're going to call him Newbie.
Newbie. Yeah, he's new in the office. We can
that's
do that
right.
type of
and
stuff.
The
so we are glad that you're with us. We are tackling this month the topic of root to fruit.
Come on.
No, I got to make that stick, man.
It's like
root
a new cereal.
Yes. Hashtag root to fruit. Fruity.
Oh, my gosh. If you didn't listen to the first episode, you won't get that joke, so you better
you go back
and listen
to it.
It's
a podcast foul
yeah.
to listen to part two without listening
oh,
to part
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
It's just
literally,
not right.
I think the podcast police show up to your house.
Yeah,
it's that bad. It's that severe of a violation.
You won't understand. There's so many great inside jokes,
so
you're just going to be left out.
Can't do it. Yeah. So we are here talking. Our heart really for the podcast is come alongside you as a leader, whatever realm you're in, and just support you, encourage you, believe in you, be your biggest fan, and bring resources to you, topics, subjects, leaders, books, music, the different things that have really impacted us to bring those to you. This month we are talking about developing the root system in your life for a firm foundation of growth and excellence, something along those lines.
That's the longest title we've ever had.
You can't hashtag that one, but you can hashtag root to fruit. So what we're talking about is that lots of times we want to bear fruit in our life, or we have a vision that the Lord's given us, and we get frustrated when the Lord doesn't develop our vision because he's developing us. And we want the Lord to develop our vision, he develops us. We want to bear fruit, he first begins to develop our root system. And I think last time we talked about, Becky, you brought this up, it can be a frustrating time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not the flashy part.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is because when the Lord begins to develop your root system, he develops it in secret.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at how a dam works, a concrete gravity dam, you know, the strength of that dam is actually below the surface, what you don't see. Root systems are developed underground. Foundations are laid underground. And so the Lord begins to work on you. It's in private. It's in secret. It's not on stage. It's not out in front of people. And we kind of fight that sometimes. We want to, you know, bear the flashy fruit, or we want to be out in front of people, or we want, and the Lord says, I've got to develop your root system first. And we talked about in a sermon segment, and one that we'll talk about here too, that the life of David, God didn't prepare him in the castle of his calling. He prepared him in a field, and he prepared him in a cave.
Mm-hmm.
He prepared him first all by himself all alone with the Lord, and then he prepared him in a community of a bunch of messed up people. This is where he prepared him in secret, in the unseen spots. And I think embracing that, recognizing that's critical.
Do you find that for all of you or any of you that it's something that, you know, I'm younger than all of you. I'll just say it because it's true.
So you're saying we're old?
Yes. So even in as you grow in your leadership and as you get later on in life, that it's still it's a process of like always developing roots? Or do you get to a point where it's like, all right, I've got my foundation and it's just fruit from here on out? Or do you kind of cycle through in seasons depending on like what, you know, what fruit you're going for? Or you know what I mean?
I think it's a cycle of seasons. I think like Dean mentioned in the last podcast, I've learned the hard way by not embracing the right season that you jump into things premature. And so like learning that, wait a second, this season, God is developing this in me or doing this.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just something for the youthful days. It's not something you do in the beginning.
No, I think it's a concept of your roots go deep to bear fruit in a season, but then the next season of your life is to bear even greater fruit or to be able to handle a bigger building. So the Lord has to take your foundation wider and deeper.
That's good.
Your roots have to be able to go even deeper and even more developed to be able to do what you're called to do in the next phase.
So
it's like almost that glory to glory, strength to strength, which means your roots have to go deeper, your foundation has to be thicker and stronger as you continue to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I think the greatest temptation for young leaders, and I know even for myself, is to uproot. And, you know, the painful realization of uprooting is that you have to be planted again, and the whole process starts over.
Yeah.
So starting new isn't always the best thing.
And I think a great illustration, we're coming up on the Winter Olympic Games again, a great illustration of this is, you know, you have these athletes in the Olympics that have been training for 4 years, you know, sometimes more, for minutes, moments of, you know, fame where the whole world is watching. You see the fruit of that, but it was the years of preparation, you know, getting up early in the morning, watching their diet, all, you know, all this training that prepares them for that moment. And, you know, It's a great example of what we're called to. Like, there, you know, it's 2 weeks, 4 years for 2 weeks or 2 minutes in
grinding it out. I mean, and we talked about this. It's 30 years of preparation for Jesus for 3 years of ministry. It's a deep root system to be able to bear fruit for 3 years, and it's a concept of the Olympics, the Olympic athletes. I mean, they're doing a lot of unseen. Like what you see, that moment of glory and that moment of fruit is actually attached to a whole unseen process. Yeah. Nobody's applauding them when they're up at 5 a.m. working out in some warehouse somewhere. We're applauding them when they're in the moment. Mm-hmm. But the scene is attached to the unseen. So we had a chance to talk about this. I talked about this a little bit more in a sermon that we're going over on this podcast. So we're going to jump to that. Before that, though, we're going to get to Zach's favorite part.
Oh, yeah. In the game.
In the game.
Oh,
this
is
by far Becky's favorite part as well, I know.
Becky's second favorite part, my favorite part.
Yeah.
She may say that I'm not telling the truth, but what I'm really doing is I'm praying for her, one.
Yes, yes.
You know, that this would, you know, be fruit that develops. And I'm believing. It's really a declaration of...
Well, before we go to the game, I would just like to say...
your growth as a leader.
Probably not going to happen.
Becky likes prunes and doesn't know what the BCS National Championship game is. Could you tell me what BCS is right now?
Basketball Championship.
Okay, listen, if you'd like to help Becky with what was the BCS, feel free to tweet her. But before that, let's check out the end of the game, and then we'll go to a sermon.
In the game. Hey, this is Cody Williams with Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast, one of our favorite segments in the podcast, In the Game, where we interview athletes who are having an impact in their respective field, no pun intended. I'm sitting here today with Russell Okung of the Seattle Seahawks offensive tackle. Russell, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Cody. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, man. Thank you so much for taking time to chat with us today.
No problem.
Man, well, first of all, congratulations. We're at Super Bowl 48 week right now. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling fantastic, man. You have no better game than the Super Bowl, man. Something I've been dreaming about my whole life.
Man, and is this your first appearance at a Super Bowl?
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it's the first of many, but I'll take what I can get for now.
Well, week of the Super Bowl, how are you training? How are you getting yourself ready for the game?
You got to go back to the fundamentals. You got to go back to who you are. And there's really in knowing who you are, whether you're speaking spiritually or mentally, and physically. And all those things come together. And you just stick to who you are. You stick to what you've done all year, and you don't make anything up. And hopefully you get the same result.
Was being an NFL player, was that always your dream? Or, where did that start as a kid?
I played some little league ball, and I got away from it and got back into it. And it was really, football was just my way of going into college. And mm-hmm. I didn't know any better at the time, but that was my way of going into college. And, of course, you see the things on TV, and you dream of doing it, and you dream of being a part of it. But I wouldn't say I really knew this would happen, but it did, and I'm very grateful.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know if you're aware of this about me. I'm from Vancouver, Washington, so the Seahawks have been my team.
You.
They've been my team, man, forever.
Awesome, man. You're not doing a bandwagon thing, are you?
Oh, no. My very first hat as a kid was a Seahawks hat. And
awesome.
And I had I still actually to this day, I have the Steve Largent Wheaties box. obviously your faith is a big part of your life. And obviously God's put you in front of a pretty unique, pretty rare opportunity to be in the NFL. What does your faith mean to you as an athlete, and how do you feel God's using you in the NFL to make a difference?
The Martin Luther King Day just passed, and I was just kind of reflecting over his life. I think a lot of people forget that he was a pastor first. His methods were so profound to me just because of, what he had been through, and what he was willing to do. And kind of jumping back and forth there. Jesus was sitting with his disciples right after communion, and they're arguing, they're saying, who's the greatest? Who is the greatest among us? And Jesus tells them, the greatest among you is a servant. Mm-hmm. A servant. And I think about Martin Luther King, and wasn't he that same thing? He was a servant. And I believe, my faith tells me that God wants me the same way, to live a life of servitude. And my faith means that much to me, in that each day I wake up in my profession or what I do, I'm giving glory to God. I'm giving it all back to Him.
Hmm.
That's what's so amazing to me. That's what my faith is to me. It's my way of giving my gifts back to the world. And it's just beginning here.
It feels like God's really doing something right now, really in just the sports world, with just believers stepping up and being bold in their faith. Are you seeing something unique yourself, as an athlete surrounded by players and different teams and whatnot?
Yeah, I'm seeing it every day, and all facets of the sports world. And I think when God gives gifts to people, He gives gifts to people because there's a need for them. There's a real need for them, and I think for us to waste it would be sad to Him. So I think it's so great that we have so many athletes standing up for their faith and who they are, and giving back to the communities and back to the people, and that's what the world needs most.
Hey, obviously, Russell, a lot of young people listen to this podcast. We've got people of all ages, but one of the people that we really do reach is kind of young college age. And I've met a lot, even just this last weekend, that saw us at the conference. Said, "Man, we love the podcast and love kind of who you're interviewing and who's coming on and whatnot." For some of these people listening, if you've got any advice for young leaders, what would that be?
I would go back to what I said before, man. It's about, it's really about serving, man, and that's how people will really follow you. If you serve and you love people, you give back to them. But I'd really say, as a young believer, the most important thing I needed to know was to really know that God loves you. It's kind of like you read it,
mm-hmm.
and you first get the gospel, and it's so exciting and it's so great. But you read it, but until the text, until it really gets sown in your heart, then that's when it holds you. And it takes a grasp of you and refuses to let go. And don't be afraid of it. Mm. You know, you're not going to be perfect. And one, you're never too young and you're never too old.
Well, Russell, that's all the time we have right now for In the Game. But thank you again, man, for jumping on and spending some time with us, especially the week of the Super Bowl. And it means a lot to us. You know, we need to have you out at one of our events. You need to come to one of our conferences soon.
I'd love to, man. I'd love to. As soon as we can all get together, man, it'd be great.
Absolutely, man. We'll do that after the Super Bowl's over.
Awesome.
You're listening to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
We are excited to announce that a brand new Jesus Culture Emerge course is now available online. The newest edition is called Identity. It's a 40-week online discipleship course that walks through the book of Ephesians. Outlines, handouts, videos, prayer points, and so much more. The best part is that all the prep work is done. It's the gift of time for leaders in ministry. Go to jesusculture.com/emerge for more information.
Jesus Culture. Well, welcome back to the JCLP. Earlier this month, we heard the first part of a message from Banning Leibscher on building the foundations of your leadership in your life. And we're going to go to part two of that. He actually spoke this message at the One Thing Conference in Kansas City at the first part of this year. And hopefully you're getting challenged to build the root system in your life as a leader. Let's go to part two of that message. Thanks for listening to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
The only way you embrace this is if you really get in your heart, I'm not just called to bear fruit, I'm called to bear fruit that remains. Immediate fruit that makes me popular with people, immediate fruit that gets me a name, immediate fruit that there's a buzz. Listen, that's not what we're going after. We want fruit that lasts. I want to do this well. I want to finish the race well. Short-term success is not what we're going after. It's long-term success, which looks like faithfulness and obedience and loving well. David was not prepared in the castle. He was prepared in the field of prayer, and he was prepared in the cave. God anointed David. David literally was anointed and called to be king. And then sent back to a field. And then had to follow a horrible leader. And then the Lord stuck him in a cave with a bunch of messed up men. David's process, in order for him to get to the castle of his calling, in order for him to get to the call on his life, in order for him to rule in the castle, he had to first be developed in a process. The Lord's going to take you, and he develops your life in secret. So it's the foundation is below. It's in secret. It's in hiding. He develops that root system. He'll take you, he'll call you, and then he'll develop your life in the field of prayer and intimacy and worship. But another area that he develops your life in is in the cave of community. God took David and he put him in a field where he learned prayer, he learned intimacy, worship, but God also stuck him in a cave with people. You have to have community in your life. He will develop your root system and he will develop your foundation in community. John chapter 17, Jesus, in part of that prayer, he prays this massive prayer of community. He says, I pray that they would be one as we are one. And as they are one, they would be one in us. He prays a prayer of community. Community is a big deal to God. It's a big deal. There's this concept that we have that somehow our story is creation, fall, individual redemption to God. But it's a very Western mindset. If you read scripture, the story is creation, fall, redemption to community, finding redemption in God.
And we have this concept that somehow it's just me and Jesus. But the Bible doesn't say that. It's not just you and Jesus. Matthew 5, verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, talking about communion, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and come and offer your gift. 1 John 4 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Listen, you have to set your life up for longevity. Longevity is what matters. It's not just about bearing fruit. It's about bearing fruit that lasts. And you have to deliberately position your life for longevity. And in order to do that, it means that I have to allow God to develop my root system and develop my foundation. And there's a process involved. And part of that process, and again, in the life of David, David wasn't prepared in the castle. He was prepared in the field, prayer, intimacy, worship, and he was prepared in the cave, community. That these foundational pillars in your life have to be in place if you're going to actually sustain what you get. Have longevity. So this issue of community is massive because the Lord will develop your life in community and he doesn't allow you to be on your own. Literally, I need you to get this verse in Matthew. Jesus comes and he says, listen, whenever you come to the altar, whenever you come to have communion with the Father, God will actually stop and say, listen, I want you to put this on hold. Our connection, put it on hold. Because you have a disconnect with a brother. Go get reconnected with your brother and then come back and connect with me. It is such a big deal to him that he says, put this gift on hold until you fix that. He says, listen, you can't say you love me and hate your brother. It doesn't work like that. You have community. He stuck you in a family. But I believe there is a war against John 17. I believe that one of the big things this generation faces is isolation and independence. I believe that isolation and independence will kill the call on your life. That God is going to stick you in community. And it's with a bunch of messed up people who don't have it all together. And he sticks you in there. He says, go figure out community. Go learn how to love people. We have this thing where somehow we can just do it on our own. We don't need people. We don't want people in our life. The concept of community where my walls are down and your walls are down and intimacy is flowing. I just tell stupid little silly stories to get your mind to point, but listen to this. When I was youth pastoring early on, I didn't know what I was doing, so I had a lot of time on my hands. So I bought a big fish tank in my office, 55-gallon fish tank, and I bought these big fish, Severums or whatever. And I remember watching them one day thinking, these are boring. I want like some colorful lots of fish. So I went down to the store and I said, hey, do you have any fish that will school together? I want to see them swim in a school. So they gave me these little colorful fish. I don't know what they were, mollies or something. And I got 10 of them. I put them in there. And they were in there for months. And I asked them, I said, well, are the other fish going to bother them? They said, no. So I stuck them in there. And I'm watching them one day. And again, I don't know if this was prophetic. I don't know if the Lord was speaking to me. But I'm watching these fish one day. And I noticed that out of the 10 swimming, one of them is off on its own. Kind of. And so there's two big fish and 10 small fish. One swimming off on its own. So I kind of look at that and notice that the next day I come in, only 9 fish. And I'm watching this that day, the next day, and as I'm watching 9, I notice that one isn't swimming with the group. I come in the next day, 8. I watch 8. I kid you not. I'm watching 8. I notice one's not swimming with the group. Next day, 7. I'm watching 7. One's not swimming with the group. This happened for over a couple weeks until all of a sudden there were no small fish left at all. Isolation is a killer. Listen, I really want you to get this picture. What the enemy tries to do is he tries to get you isolated from people. He tries to get you isolated from community. He does it a whole bunch of ways. He does it by, you know, us not wanting people to control us and tell us what to do. He does it by shame. He does it by embarrassment. Listen, I know what it is to deal with issues. I know what it is to deal with sexual issues and be so embarrassed just to go talk to your close friends about it. I should be further along than this. I shouldn't be struggling with this. I'm embarrassed about this. I understand what that stuff is, but the enemy comes through offense, through shame, through independence that's in us that just kind of wants to do our own thing, and he begins to separate us and isolate us. Isolation is a killer. It is in community that the Lord begins to build our root system so that we can bear the fruit that he's called us to bear. At the end of the day, what I've realized is that not only is community a big deal to God, you cannot get away from it. Listen to me. You cannot. Independence and Christianity are countercultural to each other. They don't mix. Listen, this is it's not the only foundational pillar, but it is a key foundational pillar that has to be in your life. That my life is open and connected to others. The people are in my life. What I found is it's not only a big deal to God, but it works. It just works. After 18 years, after being frustrated with community, after being irritated with it, community sucks because people are annoying sometimes and they're messy and they're irritating and they're wrong and they're slow. But it works. At the end of the day, it just works. Community gives you access to things that you cannot get another way.
All right, that concludes another rousing episode of the JCLP. I'm not even going to say the full thing anymore. I just need to say no. JCLP.
Yeah, hashtag JCLP.
Hashtag JCLP.
You know what I'm talking about when
That's
I say
right.
that.
And
yeah.
if you
Everybody
don't,
does.
Exactly.
If you don't, go all the way back to episode
22. If you don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
If you don't know, I'm not going to tell you.
Yes, That's, no, absolutely you know, no.
We're elite. Thank you so much for joining us. We had a great time, and we're looking forward to joining you next month. As always, you can follow us on the Big Three. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's always at JC Podcast.
And listen, we're going to be coming possibly to one of your areas. We're going to have a conference in Minneapolis this summer, a conference in LA, a conference in Atlanta as well, multiple
tours. Yep.
We'll be doing three tours across the U.S. Kim will do a tour, Chris will do a tour, then the whole entire Jesus Culture crew will be out doing a tour. So we would love to have you out there and come join us somewhere in some city. I have people come up to me all the time and say, I'm a faithful podcast listener, and I think automatically you are family then.
And then, you
You're
know,
family.
My hope for 2015, maybe 2016, is a podcast tour. Who knows what that looks like, but I'm just saying.
That's next level.
Next level. We're going to take a van.
Live recordings across the nation.
Hey, we're at the Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah, don't think.
Come join us.
Don't think this podcast won't go bigger than the Jesus Culture Band one day. Oh, they're kind of the big deal now. Oh, they're like the big deal now, but wait.
Just wait.
Just wait. We're
just
right on them.
Just wait. That's right. I don't see Relevant doing a podcast tour.
I don't see you, right? I don't see. Cameron Strang, I call you out. A podcast tour challenge. No, that doesn't work. Listen, I got to tell you, Cameron, we're in a fantasy basketball league, which I won last year.
Well Booyah. Done.
Did you win this year?
Well, first of all, we're in the middle of it, okay? Basketball season's still going, but I'm not doing as well this year. I'm texting Cameron going, Cameron, I need you to mentor me. I don't understand. We're playing a different style this year.
They switched it up.
They so switched couldn't... it up on me, man. So
Tricky.
Cameron's sending me these long texts of like how to be a better fantasy basketball player, and I love him for it. Cameron Strang, I know you're listening right now because you listen to every one of our podcasts. You know he does.
Yeah.
Oh,
he
don't
does.
Act like he doesn't.
He's taking tips. He's like,
thank you for faithfully mentoring me in fantasy basketball.
I'm disturbed at how you're spending your time.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for joining us. We will see you next month.